Mum Tribe Podcast.
You're very welcome along to the Mum Tribe Podcast, episode number 6. Who knew we'd get here?
I know. Wow. Well, we are, so please keep listening.
We hope that you've enjoyed the podcast so far, and thank you so much for all your feedback. It's really, really kind of powering us along.
Oh, yeah.
You're like our diesel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or our petrol, or our electric-powered.
Hybrid?
Wind-powered. Wind-powered energy.
Not that kind of wind. Yeah. Yeah, no thanks. Yeah, the feedback has been really good so far. Everyone seems to be enjoying it.
I'm delighted.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're doing it.
That one person that listened was... It was great.
It was my mom. And thanks, she said, mom. Erica, pronounce your THs properly. Anyway, let's get down to it. We're talking boobs today.
Yeah, we're not whacking them out.
No, because if I whacked mine out now, it would touch my toe. And that would be uncomfortable for everyone involved.
We're going to talk about... we're not going to talk about boobs versus bottle.
No, because that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, we're going to talk about feeding our children.
Fed is best. Is that a bad term?
I think... If we continue to apologise throughout this entire episode, we're probably going to offend people anyway. So let's go from outright. Neither of us are out here to offend anyone.
No.
Both of us have done both.
Yeah, well, we've both attempted it and we've both gone a different path to what we thought we would do.
And both of us are first-time mums.
Yes.
As well. So yes. I eventually figured out that while I was trying to deal with feeding my baby, it was also a transition to motherhood, which those two things together and changing the baby and making them sleep and all that kind of stuff, it's a lot. It really is.
It's an awful lot. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so let me tell you my overview. So I started breastfeeding. So after, let's pick it up from episode 2. So after, while she was still stitching me together, I latched baby on and he fed for 25 minutes.
Really?
Now, I had a vision of loads of milk coming out. Now, I knew it was colostrum, but I always just thought colostrum was like a stickier version of milk.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that it was like this tiny, minuscule amount of stuff.
Like tar.
But he was sucking away for 25 minutes. Now, he's 2 and he still sucks a doty. He's a sucker.
Yeah, okay.
So sucking was happening no matter what. I took it as he fed for 25 minutes. I was like, yes, we are successfully breastfeeding. This is fantastic. And then, as I said before, I didn't get checked into my bed. So I kind of just thought that while he was sleeping and that was grand. I was like, yes, I got a sleepy baby. Everything is actually grand. Oh my God, I'm bleeding like a lot more than I ever thought that I would be bleeding. This was in the bit afterwards, whatever they call
the recovery room.
Recovery suite.
So he was like in a cot next to you and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It was
okay,
they brought me down, but they didn't check me into the bed. So they didn't tell me all the things that I had to do. Yeah. My husband's sitting there. I think he picked him up and he was like cuddling him. And then the midwife came around, it was probably about 3 or 4 hours after I had baby, and she was like, feeding, what are we doing? And I was like, oh, I'm breastfeeding, dead proud of myself, going, he latched on in the delivery suite for 25 minutes. And she just cut the legs off me. She was like, what? That's the last time you breastfed him. He needs to be breastfed every 2 hours, and unless it's 20 minutes each side, it's considered a fail. And I was like, well, oh, fail. Never use the word fail around me. I did not enjoy the word fail. But yeah, so it was that moment that I actually eventually tracked everything back to as part of my whole legs been chopped from under me. I didn't know. I genuinely didn't know. I had worked in childcare previously. So 6 months plus, once he hit 6 months, I was like, I am mom. I've never had a problem since up to six months. Was just a whirlwind of madness. But so then I was like, okay, yeah, fine, I've no problem with this whole thing. You know, can you check my latch? And then she said she was too busy, which totally they were overrun. So he seemed to latch on.
Okay, like I can't understand that now, because she said to you, that it was a fail.
Yeah.
And that he hadn't breastfed in 4 hours.
Mm.
But then she was too busy.
She was too busy, yeah. Come on. To check.
What was she too busy doing?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, no, but like, I really don't agree with that.
But I swapped him over. So he kind of pulled away after about 10 minutes. And then I swapped him over and he didn't really show much interest in the other side. And I was like, oh, this is a fail. I was like, feed, come on, baby, feed. And then I made the other mistake of changing all his nappies and throwing them in the bin. And the same midwife put him down as no proof of urine. And then it is actually quite common in exclusively breastfed babies that they won't wee then past their first few wees for a good, sometimes I think it's even 72 hours.
Really?
That they won't do big heavy nappies or whatever. And that's apparently quite normal. Because if you think of the colostrum, it would all get used up through
like energy. The body. They need it for the energy. Yeah.
Again, okay. I'm not a medical professional, so I don't know, but that's what I was told. Okay. So he wasn't weeing through, and then came the supplement with formula. And I was like, again, this is me in the ideals of motherhood. I was like, if I know one thing, I know that I do not want to supplement. And they basically then said, you've got to squeeze out colostrum, which I did. So, I worked
like
so hard. I worked so hard and I was so proud of what I got out. I got about a tablespoon out and I had watched the Stanford method of hand expressing video beforehand. I knew how to hand express. I was all over it. And they had said on that a teaspoon was good. Same midwife came back again and was like, that's all you got in the last 45 minutes. And I was like,
what
is this woman
person.
Trying to...
If you're
me.
Listening to this podcast, you are a disgrace. I'm sorry, no, that is terrible.
I don't feel any animosity towards her.
I do.
I just think she was that busy. I don't think she's a very nice person, but...
Ellen, like, both of us work, right? And we can both be extremely busy.
Well, I work in customer service as well, so I do expect that extra bit from people.
Yeah, but, like, when you're talking about a little, small baby and a very fragile new mum, you don't talk to people like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm actually annoyed for you now.
But I genuinely thought my little table or my little teaspoon was good. And I had it in the syringe and then... I syringed it into his mouth and I must have done it too fast because it fell out the other side. And
you're like, trying to scrape it back in.
Scoop it back in. I was like, no, baby, no, baby. But then, yeah, so we ended up supplementing. Again, he latched on to that teat, no problem, and scoffed it down because obviously he'd been sucking away on me and not that much was coming out.
Yeah.
So he just brought it all straight back up again. And one of the care assistants was like, that's just phlegm. I was like, no, that's milk. There's no mucus in that whatsoever. I know what phlegm looks like. You're a first time mum? And that was probably one of the first of a million times that I heard that dismissal phrase of, you're a first time mum? I hate that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I'm learning. Give me L plates and help me the same way that you would a student studying
and
for their
exams.
Show me
a tiny bit of respect.
Seriously, like.
Yeah.
That one drove me mad. But anyway, so he chucked it all back up again. Eventually, he had proof of urine and we got to go home. And things went okay from there. I remember being obsessed with building a freezer stash. Obsessed.
So, but what were you doing? Were you combination feeding?
Yeah, so we were combo feeding. So we were told that we had to give him we were told,
but I listened.
My husband is very good.
Okay, that's good.
But I did take most of the feeding. I felt like I would be a failure if I didn't. Okay. I don't know. I felt like I had to do everything.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, but we bought those little bottles of formula, pre-made formula. He scoffed it every time he got anywhere near it. He loved it. But he used to get terrible wind afterwards because he was gulping down loads. And my milk came in probably on day 3, but we had been told that we had to supplement for 2 weeks, so we continued to supplement. It was at the end of a breastfeed, so he would supplement then on top of that. And then I had a lactation consultant out to the house. She did the best thing anyone ever did for me. And again, I think lactation consultants should be free and freely available to people.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
She made me leave him for as long as possible. So she was actually late then for our appointment. So he was starving. Only for my mother was there singing in his ear.
Oh,
we wouldn't have
God.
Made it. Because I would have given in and I would have fed him. So he was starving and empty. She weighed him. She let me feed him for 10 minutes and she weighed him again. She was like, you're after transferring 8 ounces. I was like, in 10 minutes off one boob? And she was like, yeah. And then I was like, well, I was told that anything less than 20 minutes on each side is considered a fail. And she was like, who told you that? And
I said, the most evil midwife in the world.
And she said, that's no longer the guidelines. So again, I think that midwife may not have been up on her
she's a terrible
info.
Person. I'm just going to go with that now and I'm just going to stick with that.
But maybe she wasn't up on her info because, again, they're so busy. Do they get time to retrain? Is breastfeeding maybe a subset, like an opt-in, as opposed to, you know, that maybe not everyone has to be educated on it? But yeah, that was the best thing I ever heard. So I was like, this lad's a 10-minute breastfeeder. He was a dream to feed. He was an absolute dream to feed. But I was crippled with the responsibility of feeding him.
Mm.
And so many people from every angle told me, the dad doesn't bond with the child unless they're on bottles. And, you know, you'll get a rest when he's on bottles. And, you've done enough, was the other one that I got. So I got to about 12 weeks in the end. He had terrible kind of gas problems all the way through, whether it was express milk, whether it was milk straight from me, whether it was a formula from a bottle or whatever. He always had terrible gas. So I used to feed him. And then he would
my
stop.
Boobs.
He would pull off. He would stop. And then 45 minutes. Guaranteed every time. 45 minutes of screaming.
Oh, God.
He was diagnosed with colic, you know, diagnosed with just a whingy baby, another midwife said to me. He's just a whingy baby. Turns out, anyway, ultimately, he had cow's milk protein intolerance. So it probably never would have worked anyway. He has had to have a hypoallergenic formula. The day I gave him that hypoallergenic formula, he settled completely and we got a different baby. So it, you know, I got to 3 months. I was proud of getting to 3 months, but I was also devastated because I wanted to go past a year.
Mm.
And I think that was probably one of the other things that I did myself with was an expectation.
Mm.
And I think that's where mums have to be kinder to themselves and not go in with an expectation. Go in and give, you know, if you don't want to breastfeed, then don't breastfeed. But if you have any inkling at all, and it happens to work for you. Like, my child just knew how to do it.
Mm.
I didn't really do a huge amount. Like I said, I watched all the videos and stuff. And then some kids just don't, that relationship doesn't happen. And I think mums beat themselves up that it's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not. And I felt all that embarrassment then afterwards of, I was more embarrassed taking out a bottle than I was whipping out a nipple.
But I felt like that too. So, like you, he latched on, well, I thought he latched on, in the labour room or whatever you want to call it, and I thought he fed, and I remember whipping out my boob up in the room that I was in. And actually, do you know, it's really weird, right? I made really good friends with a girl who was next to me, in the bed next to me.
Boobie sisters.
Yeah, but she was just fantastic. Like, her little one fed straight away and continued to feed, and everything was going really well. I was the one who kept pressing the button going, like, he's not feeding, he's not taking it. And like that now, they said to me, hand express. Well, I think I had pressed the button so many times because I was so worried that he wasn't feeding that I was kind of getting an attitude from.
Did they respond?
They responded, but like, no.
I must have pressed the button like 3 times and really? Only one person called down once.
I think that's actually quite concerning.
It was that busy. Everyone had a baby in March 2017.
Oh my God, that's really kind of worrying though, isn't it?
Literally.
That, like, you press it 3 times. I mean, what if it was a real emergency?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
But we all know that the services are totally stretched and everything like that. But, like, I had a mixture of lovely midwives. Very patient. Very much like, I'll help you. Let's try this position. Let's try that. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then I had one or two who, like, when they came back in going, oh, you still can't do it, can you?
That's terrible.
And I felt like saying to them, like, you know, I'm trying my best. Like, I was the type of person now, at that time, I was like, be nice to the midwife because she's really going to help you. It actually turned out that the one that we had was just not a very nice person because she made me feel like absolute shit. And she was the person who was like, here's a cup, here's a syringe, hand express, up every hour, do that. So then I didn't sleep for like the entire time and I was syringing it and he was starved, and it got to 36 hours postpartum, whatever you want to call it. And like, he was just screaming, crying, and I just said to my husband, I was like, I can't do this. And I kept saying, like, I'll try again. And I remember ringing the bell, the midwife came down, and she said, what's wrong now, Erica? And I just burst into tears, and I was like, it's not working, he's so hungry, I can't do it, I don't know what's wrong with me. I was like, is it me, is it him? And she's like, we'll try him once more. And he just wouldn't latch. He was just like a lazy baby for latching. He didn't have tongue tie because they checked it. It was just like he'd go on my boob and he'd be there for 5 seconds and just go, nah, forget this, do you know? And he's like that anyway, if he's not interested in something, that's it. So I remember I just burst into tears, and like the girl next to me like felt so bad because her baby was just feeding so well. And I remember like the curtain was pulled and I was crying, and she was like, oh my god, don't cry, like, you know, it's, you're doing your best, it's okay. And I remember saying to her, I was like, I know. And they brought me down to the nursery and they got a bottle for him, and like that, now he drank it in 2 seconds. And I felt a wave of relief because I finally knew that he had had food. And then they said to me afterwards, like, one of the, oh, she was like a new midwife, or I think she was going to qualify the week later, and she came into me and she was like, I can't believe that other midwife said that to you, like the one with the hand expressing, the other one who eventually got the bottle was actually really lovely. And she said, like, you know, it's not your fault, like, sometimes it just doesn't work out. And like, thank God she said that to me, because I would have gone home going, like, this is it now, I'm crap, like, what's the point, do you know what I mean? So like, then he took the bottle and he drank it, and from then on he was on bottles. And like, you know, he had a similar enough issue with gas and things like that. We used to give him a little drop beforehand.
They never worked for us. Didn't we went they? Through medication and everything. Really? So like, there's like an adult medication that we had to dilute or dissolve in water and then syringe it into him. Oh. And it tasted horrific, like it would go on your finger or whatever, and go, oh. And none of it ever worked for him. And it was my public health nurse, who just genuinely is one of the nicest people I have ever met. Definitely the nicest medical professional I've ever met. She rang me one day and she said, I've just had people in trying to sell me a hypoallergenic formula, or like educating me on hypoallergenic formula. And I just thought of you, and all of the symptoms that they described sound like your child. And I was like, I haven't been down with you in months. And she said, yeah, but I just feel so sorry for you, because I can tell by you, you really want to be successful with breastfeeding, or I knew you wanted to be successful with breastfeeding. And she had seen me with him and how relaxed we were when we were feeding, but then how I felt like I was causing him pain. So what I was producing was just not good enough to keep him happy or whatever. Yeah. And you know, you're going, so Google. You Google, and then your milk is too thin or your milk is too thick, and all of those things, it's too much information. Yeah. Because I felt that either you were seen as pro breastfeeding or anti breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And I don't think that those two sides are helpful to a new mum.
They're not at all. I mean, like, I would be pro everything. As long as your child is fed, their nutritional needs are being met, you're not driving yourself insane trying to feed them whatever way, and you're just getting on with it, then that's good enough for me. Like, that is one of the ethos for Mum Tribe, and I will always repeat it. I don't care how you feed your child, as long as you're a nice person and you're a good mom. And like, look, we're all good moms, we're just trying our best. And that's it. Like, if you're trying your best, then that's it. Like, there's no reason why the milk that comes out of a boob or the milk that comes out of a bottle creates a better child, or there's a better way. Okay, look, in an ideal world, we'd all breastfeed and everything would be fantastic.
And I love the hashtag normalize breastfeeding. There's a couple of the mums on the Mum Tribe that really are.
I love that as well, because like that now, when I brought my son up, well, when they brought us up, because remember, I was botched up from the delivery suite, and I whipped up my boob to try and feed him. My sister was like, oh, Dad, don't go in, she's trying to feed the baby. And I was like, Dad, come in, like, you got fed like this, I mean, you know, you saw this, you made me. It's yeah. like, and I just made him. And I was like, he has to feed. And I was just like, I don't care. And like, one of my really good friends whip him out all the time. And I just sit there and I go, yeah, grand. Like, yeah. that's just the way you feed your child.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's very, very hard. And I would never want someone to think that they failed because they've bottle fed, or that they feel like they have to hide from breastfeeding because of other people's stigma that they create, like this whole thing of like breasts are very sexualized, and that like when you'd hear these comments like, you know, a woman breastfeeding and like, oh god, and when I saw her whip him out, and you're like, do you realize what you're saying? Yeah. Like, that's like it's... saying, oh, look at that cow's udder over there. Oh, whoa, hot. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Mm. It's like an evolution thing. Like, you know, when women were created or whatever, they breastfed, and that's just the way it went. It's not like in the Stone Age they were whipping up bottles and like sterilizing them and everything.
It's like when people try and sexualize a naked child running around, you know, the back garden or whatever, you know, we'll post that picture on their 21st or whatever. Yeah, it's funny, and a lot of people say it in jest, but sometimes I'm a bit uncomfortable with that, and I'm like, well, it's a child. It's a child. They're running around naked. You shouldn't be thinking of them as naked specifically.
Like. Or even like, you know, pregnant women, and people are like, oh, her boobs are out getting so big. Yeah. And you're like,
oh, I love a pregnant woman. It's kind of like, oh. So I sexualize a woman if she wants to be sexualized, fine. But like, don't be kind of like, ooh, pregnant woman fetish almost. Like, or
but let's face it now. Like, and I think the girls in Pure Filth will probably corroborate this, like there are a lot of people with strange fetishes out there, and that's grand. Leave them off.
That's fine,
as long as they're not thinking about me in any of those. That's grand. I'm not pregnant, FYI. But yeah, I just think that look, we're all just trying to do our best. We all just want to feed our kids.
How did you pick your formula? Because that was one that I found that there was like, it's like there's no information around formula. So it was like
there's none.
I think they offered me two different types, and I was like, well, that was the one that my sister. So give me that one, and it was it. I hasten to say everything is so progressed, because it's really not. There still is a lot of formula feeding out there, and formula companies can advertise, whereas there's no one really kind of going, there's no, I know the formula companies have to say by law that the first six months of life breastfeeding is best, but equally there's no ads on TV to go, yeah, actually it's normal to breastfeed past age one, and if you see someone in a cafe doing it, it's grand, because there's no sponsor for that, there's no funding behind that, so there's no way to make that decision apart from going, that packet looks like something I want to go with.
I was going to say though, like, I think there was two options in the hospital as well where we were, and I work in marketing, I should know to go past the branding and what I've seen and what I've heard. And I saw one, and I don't know, maybe it's because I work in that industry anyway. I knew that they were both produced in the same place. So I was like, there's no difference. But I went with the one that I had more information about on the day, because I believed that it was the closest thing that you could get to breastfeeding. Now, I'm pretty certain that most formulas are the closest thing that you can get to breastfeeding, because obviously they produce them to mimic the nutritional value of breast milk. Don't quote me on that, like, I'm not a professional, I'm not a scientist, I don't develop these things or whatever, but that's what I went with. A lot of people say to me, like, if you go again, I hate that term, when will you go again, you know, if you go again, and I'm like, you know what, let's zip it, because some people might not want to go again, some people might have trouble going again, some people just don't want to talk about going again because they might have been botched or had like lots of issues afterwards, and that's grand. But
some people might be crossing their fingers right now going, yeah, I'm hoping that we are again, and you know, it might be their third or fourth time that that's happened, or someone may have just gone through a miscarriage, you know, and that's the thing, is you just can't ask that question.
Really bothers me. But I think that a lot of people would say to me, when you go again, will you breast or bottle feed? And maybe it's just because, I'm probably going to get bashed for this now, but look, this is just the way that I feel. Because I had so many issues trying to dry out my boobs, like they were so painful, and I found my recovery very tough in terms of the physical aspect of it as well as the mental aspect. And I genuinely feel myself, if I ever had another baby, I'd probably just go the formula route. It's terrible to think that someone listening to this now will think of me like I'm copping out and I'm not going to try. But
well, I mean, we say, and when, you know, there was lots of campaigns for her body, her choice. Yeah. I think it genuinely,
yeah,
I think there should be no judgment. Yeah. Her body, her choice.
I think so too. I mean, like, if say you were and to get pregnant
again, I
would
absolutely go breastfeeding again.
But this is it. Like, if you were to get pregnant again and you said to me like, I'm pregnant and I'm going to breastfeed, I would be like, absolutely go for it, that's fantastic, like, it really worked for you and I hope it works out. And I would say that to anyone that I know, but I just think personally myself, I probably wouldn't, because my public health nurse had said to me, it's probably better that the breastfeeding didn't work out for you, Erica, because you have an awful lot of other things that you need to deal with. And I definitely think that bottle feeding helped me give my husband some jobs to do and let me trust him a bit. Like, his job was washing the bottles, sterilizing the bottles, getting bottles ready, and that was his job, and that took a bit of pressure off me when I was so obsessed with everything being a certain way.
Mm.
No, he did it the way that I asked him to do it, and he was totally clueless.
With your instruction leaflet,
like, we left the hospital and we had to go straight over to the shopping center and buy formula and bottles. We had to go to another shopping center and buy a microwave because our microwave broke, and microwave sterilizer, because I just assumed that we'd be able to breastfeed, I'd be able to breastfeed, and that there'd be no problems. I think going into it, if I ever had another child, I would 100% have all of those as a backup.
Oh, I defaulted to worst case scenario, so I had all my bottles there.
You're
but I
far
also
more sensible than me.
Well, I also really wanted to express, so I bought I bought glass bottles because I figure,
no way,
you know, like, milk is nicer out of a glass than like a plastic cup.
The first time, mom.
When my husband dropped the glass bottle in the kitchen at like 4 a.m. and I ended up cleaning it up, I was like, we're not using the glass bottles ever again. But no, I was fed on glass bottles when my mum got me to 3 months as well, and then she switched over to formula.
Oh, that's interesting. So your mum breastfed?
Yeah, but she didn't, my brother or my sister.
Yeah, so my mum never breastfed at all. She went on bottles and couldn't understand why I wanted to breastfeed.
Yeah.
And I found that really weird. I was like, I would have thought that, like, I was an 80s baby, that she'd want to breastfeed, but it just didn't. Well, actually, do you know what? I lie. She said it didn't work. It just didn't work. And I don't know what didn't work, but look.
But that's where I think that our generation having the conversations will hopefully help the next generation. Mm. I don't think we'll cure everything. We can do our best, you know, and every generation has to go through their own rite of passage. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot wrong at the moment.
Yeah.
This whole conversation, I'm actually surprised at how, I know I don't show my emotion, but how emotional I feel inside, because I'd forgotten an awful lot of those bits and pieces. I haven't really thought about this since. But I would have loved, I see my 12 weeks as a failure because I wanted to
don't
do longer.
Ever see it as a failure. 12 weeks is 12 weeks longer than you did, than I did.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have gotten to 12 weeks.
No, but isn't that the horrible thing? That, like, both of our children are healthy and happy.
I know.
And that's the thing is, it's the same as the whole birth experience being a tiny little blip on the entire radar of their parenting life. Feeding is the exact same thing. Mm. Like, at the moment, my child, his favourite food is either pasta or waffles. And I am sure that when he's like 16 or 17, he'll be like in the gym, pumping iron, only like having a vegan diet or something like that. And, you know, he'll probably, I'll be like, you never ate that before.
Yeah.
So everything is cyclical and we beat ourselves up about way too much. And I think this is another one. I think if we can all unite on, okay, let's fed as best if that's what we want to go with.
Yeah,
but
I just think a bit of respect goes a long way on both sides. Like, if someone decides to pull their boob out in the middle of a shopping centre on a Saturday afternoon, then that's fair enough. Their baby's hungry, they have to feed them. Like, don't judge someone. In the same token, like, when you are at something and someone whips out a bottle and says, I have to heat it, or whatever, like, you know, if they take a bottle out, don't judge them. Like, we're all trying to do our best. We're all trying to get through day by day of motherhood. And I think at the start, it's obviously the hardest. Well, I mean, look, we're only in it 2 years. I mean, 2.5.
Yeah.
But like, as far as I can see, the first few months were definitely the hardest for me. And so if I would have thought like maybe people would have tolerated me bottle feeding a bit more, I wouldn't have felt so bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, respect. Like, respect people's choices. Respect people's choices, what they do in the future as well. Like, you know, don't assume that because you breastfed that they want to breastfeed again. Don't assume that they want to bottle feed again. Just like, you know, it's kind of none of anyone else's business apart from the mom and the baby and the dad. Like, you know, it's, as a family, that's their decision. So like, no one really has the right to judge someone else on how they feed their child. So let's just be nice about it and kind of, you know,
make sure there's no hungry babies.
Absolutely, because we all know what a hungry baby sounds like. Yes. Oh my god, that cry. It'd actually break your heart though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Literally would.
Anyway, that was interesting.
Love to hear stories again, because I think, you know, like that,
yeah,
if someone has maybe had a really successful journey or not so much, or someone's in the same boat as you, to say that, you know, if they did go again, they definitely either would go one way or the other way.
Yeah.
Would love to know. Would love to know, even, you know, out of both of our conversations, we've obviously been both a little bit tentative about kind of saying something wrong.
Yeah, I really don't want to offend anyone with this conversation. Like, I mean, we come to this conversation from a good place. We don't ever want to offend anyone or make you feel uncomfortable, but I do think it's a conversation that needs to be had, because I think this conversation is what divides motherhood sometimes, and it doesn't need to divide motherhood. Like, we just have to be a bit tolerant of each other. So on that note, your stories are important to us, and if you have a breastfeeding journey that you want to share with us, if you got into a certain milestone, isn't there like a golden boobs or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you got that, that's fantastic and fair play. If you've perfected the best way to make a bottle in 2 seconds, or you could train your spouse to do it, then tell us. And if you had issues or if it went really well, then we'd love to know. And do you know what I'd really love to know? If there's breast milk banks in Ireland, you know, to donate them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to know, is that something that's around, or would people be interested in it?
I had to throw my freezer stash in the bin.
But that's what I'm thinking. I've heard of so many different mums that are like, oh, I had all this breast milk and I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So is there something like that out there? Is something being set up? I'd love to know. As usual, mumtribeireland@gmail.com, mumtribe on Instagram. I'm on Facebook too, you know that. There's Twitter, there's Melon Ellen on Instagram. You can send all your details through there. So thanks for listening. Yeah, that's it.
We've loved having you. Join us again. It's the Mum Tribe podcast with
Erica
and Ellen.